morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lamo. In a moment, Geshe-la will be coming in through that door to give us the teachings. If you're new to the center, if you please stand with the rest of us out of respect for him and his teachings. If you have cell phones, would you please turn off your notifications or, you know, turn them off completely, whatever. We'll be saying some prayers in the white prayer book, the first base sheet, and also at the bottom of the first pink sheet. Geshe-la invites us to circumambulate the stupa outside clockwise for incredible merit, and also to turn the prayer wheels that are on the other side of the wall. This is the last teaching Geshe-la will be giving for about a month. Venerable Robina Curtin will be here. And today we are blessed with the presence of our new Kadampa nun, Naon Kado. And she is right outside the door. She'll be here in a moment. She's also known as Jeanette White. I'll be very happy about that. Let's see, what else? You're welcome to bring in drinks in here. It's not a problem. So let's just get our minds ready to receive the teachings. Okay, if you would please turn to the first base sheet in the white prayer book. We'll chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, the four immeasurables in English, and then right below that in Tibetan, one time. Taya ta omune mune maha munaye soha. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam chedeva dam dewe gyudam dem par juchi please turn the page to the pink sheet, At the bottom, you see two mantras. Let's chant Chenrezig's mantra 8 times and then Green Tara's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Okay, the children are welcome to go to their classes. If your child has never been to a class, would you please accompany your child? Fill out a form and find out where to pick your child up.
Drinks to the trailers. Sure. Good morning. First, I would like to welcome our new nun. No, I can't draw, so. I didn't force her to become nun, so she decided by herself. Okay. Last 15 years, I never forced anybody to become monks and nuns. So she's been thinking about a long time. She's been thinking about, you know. So that's good, you know. She took time to thinking about. So then eventually, I request her to go to all the way to over beyond oceans, beyond the oceans, all the way to India, where my teacher lives. So I want her to receive the vow from my teacher, you know. So that she went there. I think she had a good time. So, just want to welcome her. So maybe we'll begin with meditations, okay? Usually we do, like every Sunday class. This is the best part of class. Best part of class, that we all doing something together. That's the best part of class. The rest is make a mouse talk. The best part of the beginning is the best part of class. Best part of class, then we all do meditation together, okay? If you already know, because we've been doing this meditation almost every Sunday, oh? If you already know this meditation, then please practice patience. If you are here first time, you know, probably looking for, looking to learn, or maybe have interest to learn some form of meditations. So this is good meditation to learn at the beginning. This is called 9-round breathing meditations. Okay, 9-round breathing meditations. And we are doing these meditations just to benefit other sentient beings. That's the, that's what's been said, you know. So these are all the texts that taught by Shakyamuni Buddha, and some of them, just 18 of them, taught by Lama Tsongkhapa. The rest is not taught by Buddha. And all the Indian masters, you know, Indian masters such as Nagarjuna, Asanga, commentaries. there's 200 something taught directly by Shakyamuni Buddha, but there's 300 something, there's a commentary by Indian masters. So then there's 18, this by no separate texts. So I invited all these texts here because as a Buddhist monk, just seeing them, for you to see them, just seeing them, so I'm hoping, you know, you get some kind of benefit just seeing this, you know, the holy text, you know, so just seeing that. So then I'm hoping, you know, just being here, because, you know, you have so many things to do. So you have families to, you know, take care, you have, you know, power, so many chores to take care, but you decided to come here. So at least just seeing here, probably, you know, you get some benefit. So that's my goal, you know, that... So this old text is now in Tibetan. This old in Tibetan. It used to be in Sanskrit. So then it translated from Sanskrit to Tibetan. So then every text in the begin with the Sanskrit homage. Similarly, they say all the meditation should begin with intentions. That's why they, you know, kind of like exemplify every text in Tibetan, you know, almost not all of them, but most of them begin with the Sanskrit, shows coming from Sanskrit to Tibetan. And it shows kind of origin, where it's originated in India, then translated from Sanskrit to Tibetan. Very few translated from Pali to Tibetan, but most of the Tibetan texts are translated from Sanskrit into Tibetan. So that shows, you know, every book has Sanskrit homage. So then, say similarly, every meditation should begin with intention, like, you know, Sanskrit. So that means positive intention. So, so, can you hear clearly? Can you hear people there back there? Yeah, okay. So then each time when the door opens, there's opportunity to practice patience. Even though it's a little annoying, but, you know, yeah. But yeah. So then there's 9 round breathing meditations. There's like 3 rounds. Each round has 3 breathings. There's called 9 round breathing meditations. So first let's do meditation. Then after that I'll explain what it's for. Okay. Should I explain before we do meditation or after? Before, yeah. So this is all sake of knowledge. At the moment, then if you learn, then if you do, then I'm very much hoping that you will share it with your friends, you know. No prayer needs to say, you just sit there and do this, begin with the 9-round breathing meditation. So this meditation is particularly designed to help individuals to get rid of negative energy. So now you wonder, what is negative energy? So first let me explain. What is negative energy and how that has been generated, according to the instructions that's been taught 100 years ago. It's not just somebody just made it up last night. I didn't make it up last night, so it's already been taught. I'm just repeating here. Huh? So then it's been tested by a lot of people. It produced great results. So that's the kind of instructions if you follow. More likely we'll make some progress. So now negative energy is caused by imbalanced mind. So now what is imbalanced mind? Imbalanced mind, that's like unfocused mind. Every mind and every thought comes with the energy. Whether it's positive or negative. According to the text, it says every thought kind of like rides on the energy. It's energy like horse. You can't separate. It comes with the thought, whether it's positive or negative. So when we concentrate, then we are going to do 2 different meditations. First, 9-round breathing meditation. Second, 21 breathing meditations. So every thought that comes with the energy, you know, so that energy can be wasted, or can be useful. You know? So now how you define wasted energy or negative energy, these are same, according to the instruction, same. So when we concentrate, whether we use our own breath or some kind of image here, flower, whatever color, when you try to pull all your mental attention when you pile all your mental attention on one single object, that's the way to balance your mind. That means you are balancing your mind. So then your mind becomes calm and peaceful. That's why we concentrate. That's the only reason we concentrate. That's all. Sunday chishi. So that's why these cushions is called concentration cushions. And here now called meditation cushions, but actually it's called concentration cushions. So when you sit on there, you are supposed to concentrate. You sit there, and all of a sudden you realize your mind is in flea market. So then the cushion is called flea market cushion. You are not sitting on the concentration cushion. You are sitting on flea market cushion. All of a sudden you are on the cushions, then your mind is going to Whole Food looking for chocolate chip cookies. So that's not so concentration. Because chocolate chip cookie, I bring up this quite often because I used to eat that every single day. Once a day, every single, not now finish. So not now. So now I just visualize them. So anyway, this is called concentration cushions. When you sit on there, you are supposed to concentrate. Even 1 minute, we are not talking hours now, even just 1 minute, just sit there, maybe watch your own breath, or maybe you just imagine something beautiful, without judgmental mind, and just thinking that you are just thinking flower, that's all you are thinking, nothing else. So that's the one way to balance the mind. When you balance the mind, and mind becomes flexible. So then mind that comes with energy, you can't separate them. So that energy will balance. So then more of that goes through the channels. There's like 72,000 channels. Believe it or not, there's 72,000 channels. Because of those channels and the energy that we move, we blink, all kind of things we do because of those energy and channels. So then more this is called useful energy or the beneficial energy, they're created by well-balanced mind. That very mind balances the energy. At that moment, you have only that thought. That's all. You don't have any other thought. Because there's only one energy now. Instead of like 100 energy, but you have one energy, powerful one energy, and one powerful thought. So that balance, when you concentrate, that balance of thought, that very thought balance energy, that energy goes through the channels and it benefits your physical body, in this case, probably health. So that benefits your mind. So then eventually that will lead to physical pliancy, then after that, mental pliancy. So this whole idea about also yoga is like to reach physical flexibility. This whole idea of yoga, same mind, trying to reach this mental flexibility. So that's the goal. So that's supposed to lead to mental pliancy. Okay? So that's called wasted energy. So then here I'm very much hoping that, I see the stress is a negative energy. So you, me, all of us, we have stress. Our life is not free from stress. No, we have stress, some day less, some day more, because of something for family, related to family, something related to your own things, your plan, many things, from kitchen to your bedroom to bathroom, there's so many things, that related to death. There's a lot of things that, produce stress if we are not being mindful. If we don't learn lessons, there's so many ways that, like how they generate stress. So we all, I'm not free of stress. I do have stress. You also have stress too. So the best thing to eliminate the stress is to do this 9-round breathing meditation. Okay, 9-round breathing meditations. So, and we first we learn, then sake of knowledge first we learn. So then, at least there are some benefit learning the instructions which is originated from 100 years. So then later on, if somebody comes to you, do you know any meditations? I'm under a lot of stress. You can tell them, I know 9-round breathing meditation. At least you are passing down pure instructions. So that person is getting something pure. The whether the person do meditation or not is up to them. You can force them. It's up to them. So at least, you know, there's something to feel good about that you pass down some instructions which has an origin. Well, that's for sake of knowledge. So I think that's pretty much it about 9-round breathing meditation explanation. So now, any breathing meditations, all my friends here, please sit, you know, we have to sit straight. Whether you are sitting on a chair or on the floor, doesn't matter, the back should be straight. You know? So then we use our left hand, first left hand. Block your left nostril, long, slow, inhale from right nostril, long, slow. That's one. Then exhale. Then again, please, inhale long. That's two. Then again, that's three. This first round, We'll repeat this again one more time, repeat this. So right now I'm doing this, but when you actually do, probably not good to do this, no? So maybe just sit straight, no? Like, long, slow. If you're wondering what this hand is going to do, you can just leave the hand, doesn't matter, you can just put it like this, or doesn't matter, hand, make relax, oh? So then, again, again, so that's first round, each round there's three breathing, that's first round, begin with inhale and end with exhale. Each time you inhale, that's one. Exhale, inhale, that's two. Exhale, inhale, that's three. Then end with the exhale. That's first round. So then the second round, then use please your right hand. Then block the right nostril. Long, slow. This is the second round. Each round, make sure there's three, the second round. So we'll repeat the second round again, one more time. Block your right nostril like that. Inhale, long, slow, gently. Yeah, that's second round. Now the third round, not from the mouth, from both nostrils. Inhale, exhale, do this three times. That's the last round. That's the 9-round breathing meditation, okay? Not from the mouth, from the nose. Begin with inhale. We'll just move. We'll do it one more time. Okay. So this is called 9-round breathing meditation. I think before you do any form of meditation, it is good to do this 9-round breathing meditations. If you're under a lot of stress, maybe try to do this. You know, do one time, just take a break, then do another one, and see how you feel. If you feel like it's kind of relieving. If you feel like relief from stress, so then this is worthwhile to do. You know, it's good. It's good for health. There's no side effect. Huh? So this is for eliminating the lung roll. Lung is energy. Roll is waste. Lung roll. Gu, 9. Tuk, set. Cell means eliminate. That's the name of these meditations. Eliminating negative energy through 9-round meditations. So then, of course, there's no breathing, but it is breathing. So then, breathing meditation, the breathing is just there because it's breathing. So then after that, we are going to do this 21 breathing meditations. And that's to develop concentrations. So if somebody asks you why you concentrate, because that's the only way you can make your mind calm and peaceful when you concentrate. Samde jishi. As a samde means concentrations. Jishi means it makes mind calm and peaceful. That's the only reason, not trying to become Buddhist or trying to become this and that. It's the only reason to make your mind calm and peaceful. No? If you don't have mind, then you don't need to do any concentration meditations. So, I wish that sometimes I don't have mind, but so I already have mind, so there's nothing I can do. So, first time, I've been here now 15 years. So, first couple of years, people sitting here, they're driving me around. So I didn't see this storage called self-storage. I thought, wow, that's an interesting name. So this in America, if you don't like yourself, you can store them there. In India, Nepal, we have no choice. We don't have self-storage. So it's bad news that you just live with yourself. Anyway, that's a joke. Self-storage. First, so my English is so bad, I couldn't understand. So then there's a couple of jokes that comes out of this name, self-storage. I was seriously thought that people are putting themselves there. So anyway, so the second part of meditation is called to develop concentrations, okay? So what we are going to do, we are going to use our own breath. So what we do, so 9-round breathing meditation begin with inhale and finish with exhale. So this one, 21 breathing meditation, sake of knowledge. This begins with exhale. Okay, it doesn't begin with inhale, it begins with exhale. So not from the mouth, from the nose, from the both nose. First exhale, u is breath. Jung, exhale, mu is inhale. U jung. So, of course, the back has to be straight. And according to instructions, it says that we breathe in and out 21,000 times a day. I never counted. So I did thought about I'm going to count one day, but then that day never come. So probably will never come. So, and just idea of counting that kind of makes me kind of upset. So then I never counted anyway. So to find out that somebody has to count, otherwise there's no way to find out. But that's what it said in the text. 우니지직동 means 21,000 times we breathe in and out. So out of that, how many we are aware? In my case, zero. So sometimes, you know, like when we are under so much stress, you know, we all went through our lifetime, some point in our lifetime that we have so much stress that, yeah, so, you know, all of us, me, you, everybody. So, because, you know, then, you know, sometimes, like, physical body not able to manage that amount of stress, and you people sigh, you know, sigh. So this physical body is trying to push this negative energy out of your system. That's why you say, then you sigh, you know, that's kind of sign that physical body is trying to also push that out. So this 9-round breathing meditation will definitely help. So at that time, you are obviously you are noticed that you are exhaling, inhaling, because that's the only moment in my case that you are kind of noticed that, you know, breathing in and out. Anyway, so we sit comfortably, like the back straight. So then exhale from your nose. If you are having difficulties, the one technique that I learned from Vietnamese temple in Germany a couple of years ago, so they say out in their mind, in. That's one. We are going to count 21 times in here, not in the rosary, in the hand, here. Out, in, one. Out, in, two. That's what we're going to focus, concentrate, okay? At the beginning, if you are breathing, if you are making some kind of effort to breathe in and out, that's okay. But eventually, it has to be very natural because we do breathe 21,000 times a day. So we do know how to breathe normally, naturally. So eventually it has to be very natural, okay? And that's the to help us to develop concentrations, to make our mind calm and peaceful, okay? So we'll begin. too soon. Sorry, too soon. So you can do also just 7. I mean, you can just do 3. Then you can count, if you can count 3, then you do 4. If you cannot count 4, logically it doesn't make sense, you cannot count 5. You can count 5, then slowly, 21 times. This number has been mentioned in the text, 21 times. 7, 9, 21. Then you stop and see how you feel. You feel a little bit like easy in your mind, then take a break, then do it another one. Or you can do 108. You can just count 100. See. So you, when you go out at the cafe, there's painting. There's an elephant, monkey, the rabbit, the monks. This is like painting. There's Tibetan art that express the development of concentrations that one can go through. There's 9 stages. First stage is if you can count 21 times without losing the count, you are already in the first stages. That's pretty good. That's kind of inspiring. In the first stages. No? So, or you can use your own breath, or you can use some anything. As a Buddhist, you use holy image. There's 2 benefits. One is to keep your mind there. Second is recalling holy image. There's some benefit. Does not mean you have to use holy image. You can just use color, flower. Says like, Yiji Langbo, it's like mind is considered as elephant. So powerful, it's like elephant. Yiji Langbo. Doala, the elephant is on the move, it's not still. It's moving, constantly moving. That's why we don't experience calm mind, because it's always moving. Yiji Langbo Doala. Yi means mind. Langbo, that's elephant. Yiji Langbo Do means, you know, it's also on the move, Yiji Langbo Doala. Mikpe kawa tembola means, mikpa means object, like pillar. Firm object. So, I'm thinking red, or I don't like red, maybe yellow, or maybe I like yellow, maybe I like blue. It's not like that. No, you choose one object and just to think that. That's why it's called firm object, okay? Mikpe kawa tembola. Tembe pape ngechin means, temba is mindfulness, it's like rope. You have rope, elephant is already there. In Buddhism, it's more complicated. Elephant is in the room all the time. And here, you have one elephant in the room once a while. You don't hear many often. No, so in Buddhism, elephant is in the room all the time. Anyway, there's an elephant, there's rope, and there's pillar. Very strong pillar. Then mindfulness is like rope. Being mindful. So now your job is to tie that elephant to that pillar. Like, make sure you don't guess, maybe I tied that, but turns out you are not, the elephant is loose. It's in the flea market. Or it's in the Whole Food looking for chocolate chip cookies. Or maybe looking for kale. Not my elephant. If my elephant goes to the Whole Food, it's not looking for kale. That's for sure. That's 100% sure. It's looking for chocolate chip cookies. No? Maybe some of your elephant may be looking for kale. Or if my elephant is looking for kale, it's only looking for baby kale, not the wrong. So then when you go to Nepal or India, if your mind is not flexible, if your mind is uptight with French fry, pizza, not just pizza from Papa John, it has to be particular pizza, it has to be Papa John. When you are in Nepal, if your elephant is looking for that, then you'll go through a great degree of suffering. So you'll see probably in the menu, you see French fry, get so excited, then you order them. When they bring you there, it doesn't look like French fry, first of all. Second, it doesn't taste nearly as French fry. So then, Starbucks coffee to Dunkin' Donuts, all these things. You know? So that means not being flexible, because your mind is uptight with that, not able to flexible. So that caused problems. So that's based on my experience with my friend, couple of friends from North Carolina going there. Oh yeah. Yeah. So okay. Back to the that I've been carrying out by always carrying out by chocolate chip cookies, no good. So what mindfulness, then you tie that elephant to the poles or whatever object it is, whether it's your breath or some kind of color, flower, tree, sky, cloud, whatever it is. And maybe a kawa temple or tembe, having a chingness, then you bind there. Then share up charge you. Then now what you have wisdoms. You have wisdoms, you know. So that wisdom that, you know, in India, if you've been in India or Nepal, they use a lot of elephants to load, unload things from, you know, especially in the forest department. So the person who's doing it, they has one piece of metal. So then they poke there, you know, elephant. Then if they want an elephant to stop, so they put it there, then just hold it back. That is like wisdom. If your mind is, now you are on the concentration cushions, you are now counting your breath, or maybe thinking something, you know, something, then all of a sudden your mind gets like, kind of go up, high, gets too excited, then you need to use this wisdom to bring it down. If it's getting too down, then bring it up, means balance. Then it says, share up charge, rim wang cha, means rim means eventually. Eventually, no, it doesn't say right away, instantaneously. It takes time. Slowly. Tibetan words say kale, then mind will be focused, you know, mind will be there, you know. If it's a flower, if you don't see the red, if you are focused on the red color, or the typical problem is if you're trying to focus on red, then you may end up seeing yellow. If you're trying to focus on yellow, then you may see something else. But longest, make sure that your mind is there, even the just shape of the flower you just grabbed there. Okay, so there's concentration. Why? That's the only way to make your mind calm and peaceful someday, Chishi. So that's why, okay? So then, including myself, all of you here, one important thing that we should understand, the power of meditation or purpose of meditation is to reduce negative thought. Gomtob nimochwa, afflicted mind. Why? Afflicted mind, there's mental suffering. We don't need any of those. Whether it's come down on yourself, other people, other culture, other traditions, other policy, other plan, idea, where they eat, where they talk, where they dress. You know, that's why Mother Teresa said, if you judge people, there's no space for love. That's what it means. You know, so that afflicted mind is no good. So the power of meditation or purpose of meditation is to reduce, minimize negative thought. More you meditate, less negative you have, or maybe negative anger is getting less powerful, then it's good. Then you are doing productive meditations. Reading, hearing, discussing about spirituality, chidob shishidwa, the power of doing that, studying, discussing, reading, hearing about spirituality is to make you more calm person. Chidob shishidwa. So then it's serving its purpose. Otherwise, me for you, completely waste of time, doing no any good. Better to sleep, maybe go to beach, you know, maybe it's to sing a song, dance, do something else. It's completely waste of time. Just looks like that you are meditating or sitting on the cushions, but you're not doing any productive meditation. No? So meditation does not mean you just sit there, you know, and that's not meditation. It's just, that's called sitting position. It's called sitting position. It doesn't call meditation. It's called sitting positions. Squirrel can sit. Sometimes they sit with their tail up there, like umbrella. going like this, they, all of a sudden they go like this. Not sure what they're thinking, but they sit like they're quite, especially when they're sunny, they sit in a very comfortable branch, they sit like that. I'm not sure what they're thinking. But chicken also sit a long time. Or crane, they also can sit a long time. It doesn't, it's called sitting position. It doesn't call meditations. Meditation means you're sitting, but there's, of course, there's benefit, you know, why you, there's, why there's sitting positions. There's benefit. Just, even just sitting like this could become, you know, so, so I'm thinking about in the development country, you know, here everybody has television, most people do. You know, so not being satisfied with the channels and flipping channels. If you sit like this, at least you can change your channel. No, this is like you have hands like this. There's a benefit, some kind of benefit. Sitting like that, that's called, you know, not very important, but you know, one way to control as a control the remote control. I'm not sure how to say. Remote control is controlling you. Now you are controlling remote control, so you become remote control to remote control. Something like that. I'm not sure. You can sit too long. That means you are not going to watch TV too long because you can sit like this in front of TV too long. So that's benefit. Okay, that's benefit. Sitting position, there is benefit. So this is called sitting position. It doesn't call meditation. Meditation means you are sitting like this, then you are thinking something really precisely, thinking quite deep. So that's called meditation. Okay. Meditation doesn't mean sit there, think nothing. So that sounds very good, but when it comes to a practical level, it's not easy at all. How you can just sit there, think nothing. I want that too, but it's not easy. But if you think something very precisely, think deep, that's one way probably you can get rid of a lot of thoughts. Then you can think, you know, thinking 20 different things at one time, you are thinking one thing. One thing, that's all, that's all, there's nothing else. There's one way to minimize all the other thoughts. Okay? yeah. So, now there's a couple of minutes left. So, last couple of Sundays, I've been talking about compassion, meditation on compassion. So, we don't need to complicate. In Buddhism, there are many, many complicated practices that exist. First of all, it's so difficult to learn them. So then I thought, you know, reading one of the Tibetan masters' books, and I was greatly inspired, and he's emphasizing emphasizing on meditation on compassion. So in reality, when you think about, you know, that's very true, because lack of compassion, there are so much problems. It's not lack of religions. It's not lack of people saying prayer. His Holiness says people have been saying prayer throughout the century. Problems exist. Religions exist throughout the century. Problems exist. What we need more compassionate human beings. That's what we need. To yourself, to other peoples. So in that, if that's the goal, if that's your religion, if that's your spiritualities. So then, I've been reading a lot of, you know, Mother Teresa's books. Somebody greatly inspired, regardless of, you know, belief, you know, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhism, so many people, they are greatly inspired by Mother Teresa. When you look at her face, it's full of love. Look at her face very closely and see, it's all like a lot of, you know, it's like very inspiring. When you read, and what he does, what she does, you know, it's like, it's amazing, it's amazing. So then I've been reading about, mainly about Mother Teresa's, you know, quote, you know, reading that, and try to implement in that, in day-to-day life, much as I can, you know, I'm trying, you know. So then, you know, Thomas Merton, you know, Catholic monk, as I mentioned this morning, some people may think, why Geshe-la is Buddhist monk, why he's reading Mother Teresa? I don't care. If he's Christian, that's ridiculous. That's, we don't want that. That's no good. You Buddhists, why are you not allowed to read books that are written by great, like, you know, like Mother Teresa, even though she's Christian, simply because she's Christian, you are not going to read. That is, we don't want that at all. You know, we don't. If that's the case, we don't need any religion. Why we need religion? We don't need religions. His Holiness, like, talking about secular ethics. The purpose of having religion is to produce more compassionate human beings. That's the whole goal. I need help. If I'm getting help to transform my little bit into compassion heart, if I'm getting the help from Mother Teresa, I will definitely read. If some people, they say, oh, this kid Buddhist is Geechee, he's Tibetan monk, why is he reading Mother Teresa? So, sorry, I will ignore that comment. I will not listen to that comment. Because I look up to His Holiness Dalai Lama, and he is a very practical human being. You know, he's a very practical human being. What he is encouraging us to develop basic human quality. You know, we need to care each other, care for each other. We need to be more compassionate. So this is like compassion. So then also I'm hoping that you will read those different books. And we have responsibility. I have responsibility. We have equal responsibility to create this beautiful meditations to compare about compassion. If it sounds like Buddhist, it's okay. If it sounds like Christian, doesn't matter. Long as people become more compassionate, that's what we need. So that's the whole our goal. So that's why I'm reading here there a little bit. So I hope you will do the same things, and eventually that we will create some meditation that called compassion meditation. It doesn't call Buddhist meditation, it's called compassion meditations. So then everybody has heart. We all have seed of compassion. We need to nurture that seed and to let it grow. Let it grow. It's good for yourself. It's good for, like other human beings. So, so I've been reading. So I'll read this, some quote. There's some time left. I'll read this. It's not just idea. It is here. More than here. First, of course, here and here. Feeling. So that in the Buddhism, the way they describe the feeling is like so powerful. It's like mother who does not have arm or hand. What is this part? This part from here to here. Arm. No arm. Seeing her child is drowning in the water. Can you imagine how the mother feels for their kids? That is the kind of feeling that we need, genuine, sincere, like that. That's called compassion. Feeling that ma la che mi ju ninje, there's no compassion. Oh, ninje, compassion. My cat, her name is Ninje. I name her compassion. My cat Ninje. Some people thought her name is Ninja. Maybe they cannot pronounce ninja, maybe ninja, but she doesn't look like ninja. She doesn't have ninja body. She's very round. anyway, so ninja, because compassion, because ninja. So she's from New Orleans, so I named her when she was little. Then she ended up with me the rest of her life. She passed away in my house, in my altar room. So compassion. So now I'll read this little bit here, how the definition of compassion in Buddhism. Maybe I'm hoping that it will help you to understand what is compassion. It is the strength that arises out of seeing the true nature of suffering in the world. The suffering can be translated to your suffering, to suffering of other one individual. It doesn't have to be whole world. Can be one individual. No. Dungar chinna ve simje la ming ne. Dungar chinna ve simje means being that experiencing suffering. That's called dungar. That's the definition in Tibetan word. Dungal chinna ve simje means dungal suffering, not means experiencing. Sinjain, that's being. Being, experiencing suffering. That's what you're observing or seeing. Meaning, so that's what you're seeing now. So now then you develop this willpower to free that being from the suffering. That's the definition of compassion. You see that someone is going through suffering, then you develop this willpower to desire to free that being from the suffering. That is compassion. Every mind has definition. That's how we study Buddhist philosophy. There's no definition of compassion. So I think this is better translation than my English. It is the strength that arises out of observing or seeing the suffering, the true nature of suffering in the world, means that's related, translated to your suffering or maybe individual suffering. So when you talk about universal compassion, it has to start from somewhere. Easiest way to do is like close one or loved one. Then beginning from the enemy, the person we don't like, is difficult. So when you become so good in that, so then slowly you transform that into strangers. Then slowly you transform that into enemy. Then become universal, you know. You can't just love all like living, but that's not easy. We have to be practical. So we begin with, you know, one person, okay. So that's, I think that's probably a better translation. It is the strength that arise out of seeing or observing sufferings. So there's one Indian master called Asanga. So he went to retreat, 12-year retreat. He decided, I'm going to do 12-year silent retreat in the cave. His goal is to see Maitreya Buddha. So he has so many questions that he wants to ask. And he went there with this determination that he will see Maitreya Buddha within 12 years. He went there. First 3 years, nothing happened. Even not one good dream. And he goes so discouraged, he comes out. Then on the way, he saw one person is holding a big piece of metal like this, huge piece of metal, and one piece of cloth, and rubbing. And he asked the person, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to make this needle. Then he just said, how come that you are kind of old and the piece of cloth, this big piece of metal, you are going to turn that into needle? And he said, I may not see this needle, but you know, somebody's going to see this needle, so I'm going to this. Then inspired so much, he went back to the cave. 3 more years. Nothing happened. Then he really discouraged. Then he said, now I'm going to give up. Come out. Then I saw another person, not very, very far from his house, and there's a huge piece of rock. And he has one bowl with the water and one feather. And he's dipping the feather in the water and like, again, rubbing through the rock. And he asked, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to, I say, make it disappear because it's blocking the view from my house to see. That kind of determination, that prisoner, like, then inspired him again, went back there. Now soon to go. Now there's 9 years. And then after when he comes out, then he sees this dog. Half of the body is eaten by maggot. When he sees that dog, he just know, and that dog's very aggressive, trying to bite him. Then he felt so bad, you know, this, seeing that condition. Then even the trying to, you know, bite somebody, and he really generated this compassion towards that dog. Maitreya Buddha appears right there because this power of compassion. This is just story, you know, it's the story. It's written in the sutra here, somewhere sutra here. So the power of compassion. So, and you know, sometimes then, and you yourself is all included. So this question has been asked me 2 Sundays ago after the class. Somebody come, they think they are not included. You are, the service is already included there because you are the one who is doing meditations. First, you will get benefit. You are already included there. So from now on, all my friends, you know, we and me, all of us, we try throughout our day. When you see the bird in your backyard, look at them. There's opportunity you can develop compassion. When weather is so cold, when you see the bird outside, that's the reason why you develop compassion. It doesn't have to be human being. It can be animals too. So when you think about compassion, about something, it feels good. We have no idea how much negative karma that purifies that. It's so powerful. It's like spark. It's like spark. It could burn whole hair of negative. So, no. So then I will read one, the number of quotes from Mother Teresa, and here. It's okay? Yeah. This is from Thomas Merton, the Catholic monk from Kentucky, Gethsemane. I want to visit there, his graveyard. I want to visit His Holiness Dalai Lama visited there. Great writer. So he's saying something about love. Beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves. These are the people who think a lot. The beginning of love is to let those who we love be perfectly themselves and not to treat them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them. And this is very beautifully written. It's very true. So, then the second one is about compassion, okay? The whole idea of compassion is based on a keen awareness of the interdependence. Very much same as Buddhism, you know, interdependence of all these living beings, which are all part of one another and all involved in one another. That's called all, that's in Tibetan Buddhism, you call all mother sentient beings. This whole idea, whether you become my mother or not, that's not the point. The point is, we should understand that everything is interdependent. Oh, that's the whole idea. Oh? That's called all mother sentient beings. You know, may all mother sentient beings have happiness, cause happiness. That's the whole idea, to understand is everything's interdependence. It's not like we are completely separate. It's not that we are, you know, deeply involved, you know, interdependence. Oh? Oh yeah, that's from Thomas Merton, that's how he sees this compassion, interdependence. So now that word, interdependence, underneath there's so much to learn. Oh, so much to learn. Then a couple of from here. So here one single quote. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. If you judge people, Mother Teresa. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. It's easy, it's not easy. There's nothing is easy. No, but we have to try. So in my case, when I come here, last being 15 years, first 2 years, somebody from center trying to teach me how to type. Honestly, there's no computer. I've never saw a computer in my life. When I come here, I'm late 20 or early 30, something like that. I've never saw a computer. So then, you know, teaching me how to type. The goal is to type without looking at keyboard. I said, right from the beginning, I said, no, it's not for me. So it's too hard. I cannot find the keys. So how I can type without looking at keyboard? That's impossible. So then time, the practice, the patience, slowly, type here, there. So now, it means nothing. Piece of cake. You know? So there's no, it's like, no, it's not easy. Nothing is easy. Even learning a typewriter is not easy. So now, you know, you are in the position that you can teach new monks who come monks who visited you, come to here to visit you, then you try to teach them how to type. Then you say, where's A? Here's A. Here. Where's B? Here's B. Now you put it in his hand here. Then after 1 minute, where's A? Person asks. Then you say, how come you don't see A? I already told you it's here. So you've been in that position, but you forget how you develop. You forget. You know, you are expecting the person to learn right away. There is no patience. So then when you go to Switzerland, all the keyboards messed. So then all the technique that you learned, it doesn't work with those keyboards. So it is. So, if you, so this is very good. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. If you judge them based on your plan, your idea, it can happen in the kitchen. You judge them, they didn't put the glass they're supposed to put here, the drawer, all that your idea. No, it's not like comes with the house. It's not government's rules. It's not a law. But you come up with this, okay, all the clear, what you call glass? Not like the glass all goes to the bottom of the, you know, the drawer. All this kind of mosque goes in the middle. When you open, you see underneath, instead of glass, you see mosque. Instead of mosque, you see glass. Not just here, then on the refrigerator, there's glass. And there's on the microwave, there's glass. On there's glass. There's glass everywhere. See how your mind, happiness can deteriorate. Why? Because you are so uptight with that, you can easily, before you losing your mind, you can just quietly, you can just move. That's one option. Or you can tell, you can educate. We like to educate other people. You can educate them. Most of the time, they don't listen. Not intentionally, maybe they are not used to that kind of things. It's kind of like, you know, last time when I had like 6 monks at my house, this monk has no idea where the garbage should put. I learned. I'm already programmed. Where things should go. That's not bad things, you know. So then I'm trying to fit them. I'm trying to twist them to fit in my world. But it's not easy. So you tell one time, oh, all the cook you should have put there. You should have put the food outside the refrigerator. You should put food in the refrigerator. And next day you open the drawer. The drawer is not refrigerator. There's food in the drawer. That's what we do in India. That's what we do. That's what we do in Manas. There's no refrigerator. So, you know, that's how mind gets deteriorated like that. Then, you know, you judge them based on that. So not able to be flexible. So there's, you know, there's many, from kitchen to bedroom to bathroom, all kinds of things. There's, you know, so many things that happens. So then here, life is a dream. This is all Mother says, of course. Okay, life is a dream. Realize it. So this, I think, we are taking life very seriously. We become so sophisticated, very educated. We become so tense, and everything that we take very seriously. So when you look at, you know, children, human children, animal children, during the children period, they all play. You know, lions, when they grow up, they doesn't look very... All the children, animal children, people's children, they all play. You know, they have some, they also in the time of fight, they just forget a second, finish. So I think that means, you know, we have to understand, that means that message underneath that is... Nawa Simgiranshi means all the appearances, or whether it's bad or good, is all the nature of mind. Nawa Simgiranshi, the same. Sim Tombe Ranshi, the mind is, nature of mind is empty. It's not full of stuff, it's empty. So, means, you know, life being flexible, okay? So the last part, life is too precious, do not destroy it. So there's on this topic, I've been talking not last couple of days, but many months ago. I've been talking months and months and months. Why here? When His Holiness, when first time he heard, when he came to rest, and when he heard that self-hatred, he could not understand at all. He couldn't understand, you know. So that's like, probably somehow, this precious human life, that's teaching the Buddhism called precious human life. Life is very precious. I'm not just making this up just to make you happy, then I'm hoping that you'll come back next Sunday. That's not my goal, you know. So whether you come or not, it's up to you. So, I never force people to come to center, you know. It's up to you. So this is message been said. According to Lama Tsongkhapa, about 650 years ago, it's been said. Before that, 2,500 years ago, this message has been said repeatedly, again and again and again and again. No? Tenjo, Tenjin, precious human life, meaningful, so meaningful. Precious, difficult to find. There's something that we should think about. What they get, nothing. What Lama Tsongkhapa get, nothing. If I'm thinking of precious human life here, what he get, nothing. All his book is free of copyright. Anybody can read, anybody can translate. He's not making any money. The whole goal is to help us. So, when you become hard on yourself, critical on yourself, then it's not good. It's not good. So we must, you know, we are supposed to think something good of ourselves. Precious, change, meaningful, nyeka, difficult to find. That's kind of meditation. As a Buddhist, you're supposed to do every morning when you wake up, you find something to be grateful rather than thinking something bad about yourself. So here, being hard on yourself is not good. It's not good. So, precious human life. This is not the mother is talking about. Life is too precious. Do not destroy it. Too precious. Oh, now we're over time, so one last quote. There are many quotes. I want to read this one. If we, that's all Mother Teresa. There's a lot of them from Mother Teresa. If you have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. That's what Mother said. Then, maybe one more thing, then I will stop. One more question. I really want to read this, so one more thing. It is not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. So that reminds me one story, long time ago I read. One little girl, and she prepared a Christmas gift for her dad. What is that Christmas? This Christmas gift is a matchbox. Matchbox is empty. Empty matchbox, nicely wrapped. On Christmas Day, give to her father. When he opens, he was so upset and angry, basically. And the little girl, you know, burst into tears, you know, so crying. And when he opened, that's the matchbox. First was not very valuable. When he opened, it's empty. The girl said, "I've been putting love there. Putting love in this box, months and months ahead of time before Christmas. So this is not empty, it's full of love. So it's not like how much, it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving." So that's message from Mother Teresa that you know, I know, inspires millions of people, different religions, backgrounds. You know, so when you go to Calcutta, when you see the charity house, that's what Mother does. Rescuing people, poorest of the poor, unloved, uncared, unwanted, those people. She sees them as a gift. What she can expect from them, nothing. They have no power, they have no education, they have no money. But what you get is, there's no price. So the Mother Teresa is inspiration for all of us, you know, to put our love into actions, And mother says, no, we should not think, oh, this may be tiny. I want to do something big. Mother said, that's a mistake. Tiny things with a big love, we should do. It's like collecting, like drop of water can fill this cup. But it won't fill right away, but it will fill. Eventually it will fill. But it's like drop. We should not think, oh, this is just drop. It will fill up this cup eventually when time goes by. So this is Mother Teresa's message for all of us who love compassion and who admire by compassion. So then this is good for us. This is the message for Mother Teresa. I'm just here repeating that. Okay? Okay. Thank you. With that, so now 10 more minutes. Sorry for if you have something to say. Sorry.
Okay, if you turn to the first pink sheet in the prayer book, let's read the dedications. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Majjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples. Please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.